So it's been a couple Sunday nights, so if hopefully you all be caught up. Remember that before I start in on the reading, Emmanuel left, and the section that you were looking at is an area of what would be called backsliding, when Christ is neglected, and so his presence slowly leaves. It doesn't mean that they're unsaved. And actually, Carnal Security, the last two episodes and today's episode with Carnal Security ends up being really what I was talking about today in this morning's message and in Sunday school, where we give more weight to who we are in Christ rather than what Christ has done for us. And that's what drives Jesus out. We don't need Jesus anymore. Well, I'm saved and I move on to something better. What's better than Jesus? And that's the pitfall our flesh has. It is secure in our flesh and in the works of our flesh rather than continuing to be secured in Christ. Because our sanctification, what makes us holy, is no different from what saved us. God's grace in Christ, trusting in Christ. And what makes us holy is continuing to trust in Christ in the things that we do. Brother Mike, did you have something?
Oh, I was surprised you knew I wanted to say something.
I noted that I should have been an auctioneer because I could tell the nod.
Well, it makes me think of the latest one, rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, episode 59, in the bracket in the first paragraph is always kind of the lead in. It's the summary of what happened before in episode 58. Mr. Carnal Security invited all of Mansoul to his feast after Prince Emmanuel had left. Mr. Godly Fear attended, but he did not eat, nor was he merry. He scolded Mansoul for their behavior under the objections of Mr. Carnal Security. Then said Mr. Godly Fear again, I am justified in my sadness, for Emmanuel is gone after Mansoul. I say again, he is gone. And you, sir, Manuel's gone from Mansoul. I say again, he is gone. And you, sir, are the man who has driven him away. Yes, he is gone without so much as giving notice to the nobles of Mansoul with his going. And if that is not a sign of his anger, I am not acquainted with the methods of godliness. And now, my lords and gentlemen, Mr. Godly Fear continued, for my speech is still to you. Your gradual declining from him provoked him gradually to depart from you, which he did over a period of time, hoping perhaps you would have come to your senses and have been renewed by humbling yourselves. But when he saw that none would regard nor lay these fearful beginnings of his anger and judgment to heart, he went away from this place, and this I saw with mine own eye. Therefore, now, while you boast, your strength is gone. You are like the man who lost his hair by trusting in his own strength. You may, with this Lord of your feast, shake yourselves and conclude to do as you had at other times. But since you can do nothing without him, and he has departed from you, turn your feast into a sigh and your mirth into lamentation. Then the subordinate preacher, old Mr. Conscience by name, he who used to be the recorder of Mansoul long ago, being startled at what was said, began to second it and affirm his words. Indeed, my brethren, said Mr. Conscience, I fear what Mr. Godly Fear tells us is true. I, for my part, have not seen my prince for a long season. I cannot remember the day, for my part, nor can I answer Mr. Godly Fear's question. I doubt, I am afraid, that all is not with Mansoul. Now, said Mr. Godly Fear, I know you shall not find him in Mansoul, for he has departed and gone. Yes, and gone for the faults of the elders, and because they rewarded his grace with insufferable unkindness. Then the subordinate preacher looked as if he would fall down dead at the table. Also, all present except the man of the house began to look pale and ashen. but having recovered themselves a little and jointly agreeing to believe Mr. Godly Fear and his sayings, they began to consult what best could be done, both to the men of the house for drawing them into evil and also to recover Emmanuel's love. Now, while they considered, Mr. Carnal Security had gone into his withdrawing room, for he did not like such dull, dumpish doings. He thought what they were talking about was stupid. And with that saying of their prince came very hot into their minds, which he commanded them to do in cases when false prophets should arise to delude the town of Mansoul. Since Mr. Carnal Security must be one as their prince described, they burned his house upon him with fire, for he was also a Diabolonian by nature. So when this was passed and over, they moved speedily to look for Emmanuel, their prince. They sought him, but they found him not. Then they were more certain of the truth of Mr. Godly Fear's sayings, and began to also severely reflect upon their so vile and ungodly doings. For they concluded now that it was through them that their prince had left them. Then they agreed and went to my lord's secretary, him whom before they refused to hear, him whom they had grieved with their doings, to ask of him, for he was a seer, if he could tell where Emmanuel was, and how they might direct a petition to him. But the Lord's secretary would not admit them to a conference about this matter. He would not admit them into his royal place of abode, nor would he come out to them to show them his face or intelligence. And now was it a day gloomy and dark, a day of clouds and of thick darkness with Mansoul. Now they saw that they had been foolish and began to perceive what the company and prattle of Mr. Carnal Security had done, and what desperate damage his boastful words had brought poor Mansoul into. But they were ignorant of what more it was likely to cost them. Now Mr. Godly Fear again began to be more esteemed to the men of the town. Yes, they were ready to look upon him as a prophet. Well, when the Sabbath day had come, they went to hear their subordinate preacher. But oh, how he thundered and lightened this day. His text was from the prophet Jonah. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope to steadfast love. But there was then such power and authority in that sermon, and such dejection seen in the countenances of the people that day, one like it had seldom been heard or seen. When the sermon was over, the people were hardly able to go to their homes, or to even resort to working the following week. They were so sermon-smitten, and also so sermon-sick by being smitten, that they did not know what to do. He not only revealed to Mansoul their sin, but also trembled before them under the sense of his own still crying out of himself as he preached to them, "Unhappy man that I am, that I should do so wicked a thing, that I, a preacher, whom the prince had set up to teach to Mansoul his law, should myself live senseless and foolishly here, and be one of the first found in transgression. This transgression also fell within my precincts. I should have cried out against the wickedness, but I let Mansoul wallow in it until it had driven Emmanuel from its borders." With these things he also charged, as the lords and gentry of Mansoul, to the almost distracting of them. Remember, the Lord's secretary is the conscience, and it trembled because Emmanuel had left Mansoul. But they're still saved. You know why? Because the subordinate preacher, the Lord's secretary, had a secretary over him, the chief secretary. And who is that? Do you remember? The Holy Spirit. That's right. And that's why we know that Mansoul is still saved, even though the presence of Christ has left. That's what Brother Mike in Sunday school pointed out in Ephesians chapter 2 with the Revelation chapter 2 with the church at Ephesus, that they left their first love. About this time also there was a great sickness in the town of Mansoul, and most of the inhabitants were greatly afflicted. Yes, the captains also and men of war were brought to a languishing condition thereby, and that for a long time together. So bad was it that if they were invaded, nothing could have been done to protect them, either by the townsmen or field officers. Oh, how many pale faces, weak hands, feeble knees, and staggering men were now seen to walk the streets of Mansoul. Here were groans, there were pants, and yonder lay those who were ready to faint. The garments, too, which Emmanuel had given them, were sadly in a sorry state. Some were split, some were torn, and all in a nasty condition. Some also hung so loosely upon them, if they walked by a bush, a little limb could easily snag the garment and pluck it off of them. After some time spent in this sad and desolate condition, the subordinate preacher called for a day of fasting and to humble themselves for being so wicked against the great Shaddai and his son. And he desired that Captain Boanerges would preach, so he consented to do it. And the day having arrived, his text was this: "Cut it down! Why should it use up the ground?" And a very smart sermon he made upon the place. First, he showed them of the occasion of the words, namely, because the fig tree was barren. Then he showed what was contained in the sentence, namely, repentance or utter desolation. He then showed also by whose authority this sentence was pronounced, and that it was made by Shaddai himself. And lastly, he showed the reasons of the point, and then concluded his sermon. But he was very pertinent in the application, insomuch that he made poor Mansoul tremble. For this sermon, as well as the former, wrought much to be continued.
Bum, bum, bum.
Wow, getting exciting in Mansoul now. I hope you are enjoying one of my favorite allegories. I love this one. I don't know which one I love more, the Pilgrim's Progress or this one. Each time I read this one, I feel I love it more than the Pilgrim's Progress. And then I read the Pilgrim's Progress and I say, well, how could anything better be better than that one?